Freedom is good. Liberty is good. Capitalism is good. Tony Katz is spectacular. Broadcasting live on the All Patriots Media Network.
Just because you believe it true doesn't make it true.
This is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular.
Statism will get you nowhere but unhappy or dead, or both.
The views expressed on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular are not necessarily those of the station you're listening to, even though they really, really should be.
You keep making fun of the tea parties. We'll see you on the unemployment lines in November.
Now sit back, light up a guilt-free cigar, and let's start the show!
See, good for you. I love it when radio listens, man. The man who runs our board these days out of New York knows that I like The Who and knows that I play Eminence Front quite a bit. Welcome, one and all, to the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. I am the aforementioned, the never-loved Tony Katz. The pleasure is mine like you would not and could not possibly believe. Live from the studios of PJTV, PJTV.com. If you're not already a subscriber, get over there, register now. As we all know, as we can just get the show started, the chat room keeps going, allpatriotsmedia.com/chat, allpatriotsmedia.com/chat. The president tonight, just 2 hours from now, speaking about Afghanistan policy, what I originally thought was going to be a midday speech is now a primetime address, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us to discuss this is Colonel Douglas McGregor. He's the author of a great book called Warrior's Rage, which you can get over there at USNI, United States Naval Institute. There it is on PJTV. The Great Tank Battle of 73 Easting, Warrior's Rage. And Colonel McGregor, it's good to have you with us, sir.
Good to be with you.
Let's take a little bit of what we're going to hear tonight from President Obama. We're basically talking about a multi-step drawdown of 5,000 troops by this summer out of Afghanistan, another 5,000 by the end of the year, and the 33,000 total troops of the surge out by next summer. Am I understanding it properly?
Well, those are the numbers that have been cited publicly.
Are there numbers that are being cited privately?
Well, you know, there's been quite a debate inside the White House, as I'm sure your listeners suspect is the case. The thing to remember about President Obama is that this is a man who does not lead public opinion. This is not someone who steps out and leads the country in a new particular direction. This is someone who very much follows public opinion. And if he's not confident that he can follow public opinion, he tends to migrate to what I would call the point of least resistance. And what you end up with is kind of what you're going to hear tonight, yet another compromise solution that leaves him a little bit pregnant, but doesn't ultimately fundamentally change anything.
And that's one of the questions, sir. You take a look at this, and it seems extremely underwhelming for a primetime address. What is right or wrong with the president's strategy here?
Well, there is no strategy. There never has been. Obama personally was not comfortable sending in the additional 33,000 troops that he did. He didn't believe in the mission. I didn't think that it made sense, but he did it because he was told that politically it would be impossible for him not to. So once again, he simply chose, you know, the compromise solution. All right, I'll support these 33,000, and then at some point we'll start pulling them out. That's effectively, you know, what we've done. There's been no dramatic change in Afghanistan, and there will be no dramatic change in Afghanistan. I mean, the Russians concluded when they were there that they needed 600,000 troops just to close the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and then they concluded it would make no difference because the people living in the country, the various tribal groups, were so backward and their cultures were so dysfunctional that they couldn't possibly be modernized, regardless of what the Russians did.
You know, you bring that up, sir, and it brings up the idea of what the surge was about, which is a counterinsurgency philosophy, something that I am opposed to, and I know we've spoken about before. Has the surge worked in that respect? Has the counterinsurgency concept worked in Afghanistan?
Well, of course not. And we need to keep in mind that what was billed as counterinsurgency in Iraq was actually not what people said it was. And if you look at Iraq, the place is now an outpost of Iranian strategic influence. The government is hostile to us. The Chinese control the oil. And in the latest meeting that OPEC held in Vienna, the Iraqi representative sided with Iran and Venezuela against U.S. and Western interests and opposed any increase in oil production. So Iraq is a disaster. We don't talk about it because we're not losing people on the scale that we did previously. But the notion that any of this has worked is false. And the real question now is how do we get out of this as fast as possible, not how do we stretch it out to make it look as though something is better than it is. This is very reminiscent of Vietnam, so I'm sure you remember very, very vividly. We knew in 1968 it made no sense to stay in that country. And when Nixon was elected privately, that's what the senior military leadership told him. And he turned to others who felt that we could win, and so he decided to stay longer. And it was a disaster. It was unnecessary, and this is unnecessary.
Well, sir, you give me a lot of credit there, but on the age, I was too young and born in 72. But you bring up an interesting point, because there will be people who tell you, and the historians will tell you, that we had Vietnam well in hand. It was the hanging around that caused the turn in public perception to the loss in Vietnam. Is that what you're saying is happening here? But we don't have Afghanistan in hand, and you seem to be in favor of a complete withdrawal from Afghanistan, if I'm reading you right.
First of all, the Taliban was never the primary adversary. The Taliban is regional, it's local, it operates in Afghanistan, it's largely Pashtun, and it is opposed to us because we are in the country. There is no joining of at the hip between the few remaining members of Al-Qaeda in northwest Pakistan and the Taliban. When we went into the country in 2001, the Taliban leaders were extremely angry with Al-Qaeda, because they blamed Al-Qaeda for dragging us into the country and dislodging them from power. And of course, they were right. The Taliban has reached out to us in the past and tried to legitimate itself, get back into the areas that it historically controls. Remember, you've got almost 11 million people in Afghanistan who are Pashtun. The Taliban is their representation. Unless you're prepared to kill all 11 million, and that probably won't work because you've got another 33 million Pashtun tribesmen in northwest Pakistan who will support their brethren in Afghanistan, you might as well call it a day and leave. I think Americans are increasingly convinced we've got to defend our borders. We are allowing all sorts of people to enter this country without knowing who they are and what they're up to. We have a huge economic problem here in the United States. We're not dealing effectively with it. I think you're seeing a sea change that has taken 20 years to occur. And that is to end the interventionism overseas, which is bankrupting, self-defeating, and ineffective, and focus on what is most important, and that is the United States and its interests at home.
You talk about intervening, and someone may take from that last comment about non-interventionists that you ascribe to a more libertarian ideal. Are any of the things that we're doing in the Middle East of value?
I don't think so at this particular time. I mean, if you look carefully at what we did in Iraq, we simply destabilized the region. We've got 4 million people who are now homeless, who've been driven out of their homes in Iraq. 2 million are living inside the country. Another 2 million are refugees split between Syria and Jordan. And we know what refugee problems do in the Middle East. You don't solve those easily. They don't adapt. People aren't willing to live in a new region. They want to go home. So that's part of the problem. You've got a government in Baghdad that's not only hostile to us, but it's hostile to most of the people that have been driven out of the country. So how do you put that back together again? We can't do it. It's beyond our means. The damage is done. It's strategically irreversible. We are now talking about supporting our friends in the region who share the concern that Iranian national influence has now reached the borders of Saudi Arabia. And that's something that should concern us. It doesn't necessarily mean we should be at war with Iran, but it means that we have a new ball game, and we've got to come to terms with that reality, and we created that disaster.
Do you agree or disagree with the original premise of Iraq that weapons of mass destruction, and most importantly, are we better off without Saddam Hussein?
Well, first of all, there were no weapons of mass destruction. We know that was a lie. Iraq was the unfinished war, which is what my book really addresses. It's the war that we didn't win in 1991. The generals failed. They held back the forces. We didn't destroy the Republican Guard. Saddam Hussein survived. there was an opportunity in 91 to eliminate him by eliminating the Republican Guard Corps, and others would have come to power. There was no requirement for us to intervene and occupy that place. In 2003, we decided to go in to get rid of Saddam Hussein, and the plan was to remove him. It was not to dismantle the government, the state, the army, and to occupy the place. That came after Baghdad fell. That was a disastrous decision because we ended up at war with a population that really was not hostile to us at all. In fact, everyone was very grateful to us for removing Saddam Hussein. What no Muslim wanted then, and no Muslim anywhere now wants, is an American soldier, sailor, airman, or marine standing on the street corner acting as a policeman, an administrator, or as a government. And that's our problem.
It would seem to me that the Saudis don't mind having a couple Americans around to keep the Iranians from advancing. But as we talk about Afghanistan and we talk about President Obama's address tonight, is this address anything more than posturing? Are we going to learn anything? And or do we know what he's going to say specifically or try to take credit for? That seems to be his M.O.
Well, remember, a third of Afghanistan is under Taliban control. Another third is an area that's disputed where we think we have influence, but in truth, nothing happens without the consent or the participation of the Taliban. And the remaining third of Afghanistan is split largely between Iran and the narco state, the drug cartels run by our friend Karzai, who's probably one of the most corrupt human beings in, you know, recent history. I don't know how you put a happy face on that particular dead rat. Again, I think we need to get out. We can't manage it. We can't manipulate it. We can't fix it, and we shouldn't try. And it's unnecessary to do so. It's irrelevant to the larger interest we've always had in dealing with al-Qaeda. And what Americans don't understand, and Obama's not going to tell them, unfortunately, is that we have been remarkably successful with our counterterrorism operations launched by the FBI in the United States, by the CIA overseas, and by special operations forces against the few al-Qaeda elements that remain in Pakistan. And today in Pakistan, they are irrelevant. They are isolated and meaningless.
Colonel McGregor, by the way, we're speaking with Colonel Douglas McGregor. He is the author of Warrior's Rage. You can get it at usni.org, Warrior's Rage, the great tank battle of 73 Easting. You brought up Iran earlier. Are you of the belief that Iran is not a threat or working its way to being a threat regarding either nuclear weaponry or just generalized attacks in the area?
Well, first of all, on the nuclear point, it is astonishing to me that the Iranians have turned out to be so monumentally incompetent that after all of these years and all of the expenditure of money and resources, they still don't have a nuclear weapon, to be perfectly blunt. I don't know how they've screwed it up as badly as they have. In conventional terms, the Iranians are wholly in. What the Iranians do and do well is subvert, but for their subversive efforts to work, they have to have a Shiite population to work through. That's one of the reasons Shiite populations throughout the Muslim world are viewed with considerable suspicion, because they're seen as a Trojan horse for this Iranian influence. That's true in the Gulf Emirates. It's true in Iraq. Now, in Iraq, of course, it is a Shiite-dominated state, and you have a similar phenomenon that is emerging in Lebanon, where the Shiites are dominating in that country. But if you don't have a Shiite population to work through, Iran's influence is really quite marginal. And I think it's a mistake to their significance. In fact, I think the Israelis are making a huge mistake focusing on what they think Iran might or might not be able to do. There are other more powerful actors in the region we should be concerned about. And I would tell you that Turkey is the real military heavyweight in the region. It's very important that Turkey, to the extent we are able, be kept on side. And by that I mean that we stay positively aligned with them and they with us. Because if Turkey deserts us and it strikes out completely on its own, Turkey, not Iran, is the superpower of the Middle East.
Colonel, I have to take a break. Would it be possible for you to stay on the line? I'd like to continue some of this if you've got the time.
Sure, sure.
Stay with us. That's Colonel Douglas McGregor of USNI, the author of Warrior's Rage. We are live at the studios of PJTV.com. I'm Tony Katz, and this is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. There's more to come right here on the All Patriots Media Network.
You know, in addition to this great radio show, I host a weekly show over at PJTV.com called The Conversation with Tony Katz. Yeah, PJTV, like pajamas. It's actually Pajamas Media, one of the biggest names in center-right content. At PJTV, we make great video content that gives you news and opinion heard nowhere else in the MSM. Be sure to check out my show, The Conversation with Tony Katz, at PJTV.com. It's easy to do, and it's free. PJTV.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Tony Katz here for Rocky Mountain Watch Company, an American company with a uniquely American watch. The Second Amendment watch from Rocky Mountain Watch Company is made in the USA, and it is a watch that story about America, freedom of expression, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Along the bezel, not just the words, but the very pen strokes of the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's American craftsmanship at its finest. It makes the perfect graduation or birthday gift, and it's more than a watch. The Second Amendment watch is an investment that will last through the generations. Go to RockyMountainWatch.com or call 866-591-4828, 866-591-4828. The Second Amendment watch from RockyMountainWatch.com, 866-591-4828. Order now and be sure to tell them you heard about it on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. Rocky Mountain Watch Company, Manhattan, Montana, USA.
All right. This next question is for Caroline. Caroline, if you take the bus 60 miles to school at 5:30 a.m. and the bus is traveling at an average of 30 miles per hour, how are you going to get to your prenatal appointment and still make it to homeroom on time?
Some New York students are tackling more than just their schoolwork, which is why 32% of them aren't graduating. But you can give them the boost they need to make it through by visiting boostup.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Tony Katz here for NorthlandFinance.com. I can't say enough about these people. They get you money for your business. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. If you need cash, you want to do improvements, you want to get more inventory, you want to make your business bigger and better than ever before, Northland Finance, they're the people you need. They can deal with bad credit. They can deal with all sorts of credit issues. Check them out right now at NorthlandFinance.com. NorthlandFinance.com. Simply, you need cash to make your business run. That's exactly what Northland Finance does. Give them a call, 813-386-5820, 813-386-5820, or check them out online at NorthlandFinance.com. NorthlandFinance.com.
The Tony Katz Radio Spectacular continues now on the All Patriots Media Network.
And we return now to the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular, live from the studios of PJTV, PJTV.com. If you are not a subscriber, you are slowly trying to kill me. How dare you? How dare you? PJTV.com. Subscribe. It is easy and it is free. And what could be better than that? 1-800-962-1160, 1-800-962-1160. And the chat room is open. AllPatriotsMedia.com. Just click on the chat link or go directly to allpatriotsmedia.com/chat. We are joined through the break, and I'm glad you were able to stay with us, Colonel Douglas McGregor. He is the author of Warrior's Rage, the great, great tank battle of 73 Easting. You can get over there at USNI, United States Naval Institute, USNI.org. And, sir, it's good to have you here. I want to go back and discuss something, because you brought up Iraq. As we started with Afghanistan, we went to Iraq, and the idea that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that we I don't know if you're saying that we specifically and definitively knew this,
But I ask you, sir, was Iraq indeed necessary?
Well, I think that's debatable. There are some people who would argue persuasively that, quite frankly, Saddam Hussein would have done business with the United States. We were the ones that would not do business with him. He would have sold us all the oil we wanted. He would have cut whatever deals we demanded of him. The only thing he wanted to do was to retain power. The point is that when the decision was made to go in, the plan was not to dismantle the structure of power in that country, to leave the army intact, and to essentially put Iraq's future in the hands of the military and the military leadership there. And I think that probably would have worked. There would still have been problems and difficulties, but I think you would not have seen the massive loss of life and destruction of property that ensued. But, you know, this is all Monday morning quarterbacking. You know, in the final analysis, I think Americans are looking at all of these things, and they are saying enough of these interventions. And in most cases, I think their view is we're better off not intervening. And frankly, I think they've got a good case.
And certainly when you talk about Monday morning quarterbacking, I understand that, and you take these things in their totality. Which brings us to Libya, which brings us to the president defying the War Powers Act. Is the president in violation, in your opinion?
I don't think there's any question about it. You know, the fire scout that was recently shot down over Libya, it was described as a NATO asset. It was not a NATO asset. It's a U.S. Navy asset. We've used fire scouts in Afghanistan and a number of different places. And that was very definitely a United States Navy asset launched by U.S. Navy personnel, probably some Northrop Grumman contractors who are the people that manufacture it. So I think the notion that we're not really involved, again, we're back to this, you know, a little bit pregnant business. The man has a great deal of difficulty committing to much of anything. He wants to walk, you know, the line of compromise everywhere. And he's absolutely a disaster as a national leader, to put it bluntly.
Well, sir, on this we do not disagree, and we've talked about how Afghanistan, the pullout, I think I'm hearing you right. In your opinion, the pullout of Afghanistan should be immediate and in totality.
Yeah, we should accelerate our withdrawal from that country. There are no gains over there. I mean, the notion that we have changed anything, that we've established anything of enduring strategic value for the United States is absurd. We absolutely have not. And we can't. And we have to understand that once we leave, it's analogous to a bucket of water. You stick your hand in the bucket of water, when you pull it out, you no longer displace the water. We cannot change cultures. We cannot change peoples. We can't do it in the space of 2 years, 20 years, or even 30 or 40 years. This is not open for discussion or debate. And we're dealing with people that have been delusional for a long time about the ability of the American taxpayer and his military establishment to reshape societies. It can't be done. We need to stop it, and because we've got work at home.
I don't disagree that there's work at home, but are you under the impression that you can't do two things at the same time, or you shouldn't do two things at the same time?
Well, I don't think you should engage in any way, shape, or form in these colonial expeditions that turn into massive nation-building operations that certainly make contractors rich and give people an excuse to be promoted to 3 and 4 stars who otherwise never would be, but there's nothing in it for us. Look, if you want to know what Iraq is going to look like or Afghanistan is going to look like in 20 years or 30 years, look at the states that surround them. There is a regional mean in terms of culture and politics and economics. If you want to understand, you know, what France is going to look like, look at the countries that surround it. We can't change those things, and we shouldn't try. What we should be interested in doing, to the extent that we're able, is to do business where it makes sense for us to do so. And if we think there is a threat, Americans need to keep in mind that we are dealing with extremely weak societies and weak peoples. There's nothing that we can't do if we want to do it. If we genuinely identify weapons of mass destruction that we think are aimed at us or at our friends and allies, there is nothing to prevent us from going into any of these countries and annihilating those weapons of mass destruction. But under no circumstances should we stay. We should go in, we should execute, and get out. We can't fix these societies.
And I'll tell you, I've enjoyed this conversation more than ever. Certainly, I think it's okay to disagree with me, but I was trying to get an idea of where you stood on the idea of the intervention, non-intervention. And I have said many times before, as I said, I don't believe in the counterinsurgency philosophy, but I also don't believe in pinpoint war. I don't believe in avoiding the school or avoiding the mosque or any other of these sensitive areas. If we're engaged in war, I want to annihilate the enemy, win, and move forward. And I think that's what you're saying as well.
Yeah, I think so. But again, look, you know, we are not Muslims. This is an American country where we are guided by the principles of Western Christian civilization. And at least in theory, historically, we and most of the Northern Western Europeans have been interested in avoiding the unnecessary destruction of human life, at least over the last couple of hundred years, and the unnecessary destruction of property. So to the extent that we can do that, we should. But there are times when you cannot, and if you cannot, you don't. But I think we need to understand how fragile and weak these societies are. If you're going to learn anything from this Arab Spring, if you look at Iran today, the internal dynamics in Iran make it impossible for Iran to present a serious threat to anybody. They've got enormous problems inside their own country. This is, by the way, also true for China. China is constrained not so much by external force, but by the weaknesses of its internal structure and billions of people that are unhappy.
I am up against the hard break. We will have another conversation about Iran in the future. Colonel Douglas McGregor, author of Warriors Rage, The Great Tank Battle of 73 Easting. Sir, an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
Stay with us. More to come. Peter Schiff up next to talk about Ben Bernanke. That's right, Bernanke. Live from the studios of PJTV.com, this is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular on the All Patriots Media Network.
This is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular on the All Patriots Media Network. There's more on the way if you keep it right here.
Hey everybody, Tony Katz here. You've heard me talk about advertising on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular and the All Patriots Media Network, and now is the perfect time to do so because we offer the lowest ad rates and get you the highest quality loyal customers. More and more businesses around the nation are turning to this show to get them real results. Your competition can't afford to advertise, which is why you have to get the edge on your competition on the air and online. Advertise now on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular and the All Patriots Media Network. Call us at 818-939-4065. That's 818-939-4065. Or email us at advertise@allpatriotsmedia.com. Call now, email now, support the show now, and build your business right now with the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular and the All Patriots Media Network.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Little one at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Childproofing your home, childproofing your yard, childproofing your in-laws' home and yard.
Of all the things you can read to keep your child safe, the most important is attached to their car seat. Read the instruction manual and use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly. Learn more at safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Tony Katz here for NorthlandFinance.com. I can't say enough about these people. They get you money for your business. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. If you need cash, you want to do improvements, you want to get more inventory, you want to make your business bigger and better than ever before, Northland Finance, they're the people you need. They can deal with bad credit. They can deal with all sorts of credit issues. Check them out right now at NorthlandFinance.com. NorthlandFinance.com. Simply, you need cash to make your business run. That's exactly what Northland Finance does. Give them a call, 813-386-5820. 813-386-5820. Or check them out online at NorthlandFinance.com. NorthlandFinance.com. You know, in addition to this great radio show, I host a weekly show over at PJTV.com called The Conversation with Tony Katz. Yeah,
PJTV, like pajamas. It's actually Pajamas Media, one of the biggest names in center-right content. At PJTV, we make great video content that gives you news and opinion heard nowhere else in the MSM. Be sure to check out my show, The Conversation with Tony Katz, at pjtv.com. It's easy to do, and it's free. PJTV.com.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Tony Katz here for Rocky Mountain Watch Company, an American company with a uniquely American watch. The Second Amendment watch from Rocky Mountain Watch Company is made in the USA, and it is a watch that tells a story about America, freedom of expression, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Along the bezel, not just the words, but the very pen strokes of the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's American craftsmanship at its finest. It makes the perfect graduation or birthday gift, and it's more than a watch. The Second Amendment watch is an investment that will last through the generations. Go to RockyMountainWatch.com or call 866-591-4828, 866-591-4828. The Second Amendment watch from RockyMountainWatch.com, 866-591-4828. Order now and be sure to tell them you heard about it on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. Rocky Mountain Watch Company, Manhattan, Montana, USA.
Let's get back to the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular on the All Patriots Media Network.
The Tony Katz, see, he's playing money for Peter Schitt. Brilliant. Brilliant. The Tony Katz Radio Spectacular continues. Live from the studios of PJTV.com, 1-800-962-1160. 1-800-962-1160. Earlier today, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke opened his mouth and the Dow dropped 80 points. Usually the kind of thing that happens only when Ben Bernanke opens his mouth. Joining me now to discuss it is Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff is the author of Crash Proof. There's Peter Schiff Radio. You've seen him on Fox News. He is smarter than the rest of us. Peter Schiff, it's good to have you here, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. You know, this is one of the first times that Ben Bernanke has opened his mouth and the price of gold didn't rise.
So well, let's wait till tomorrow. Let's wait till tomorrow.
Maybe. It could have a delayed reaction.
You know, when you were last on the show, and it's a line that I've quoted repeatedly, you said to us, if Ben Bernanke was a weatherman and he said it was sunny out, you'd go and buy an umbrella. Because
yeah.
He has never been correct.
No, he's a great contrarian indicator. In fact, do you know why God created Ben Bernanke?
No.
To make weathermen look good.
Ah, look at that. There's nothing but, is this the next book? Nothing but Ben Bernanke weatherman jokes? Because
well,
that'll sell.
Well, it's easy to make fun of Ben Bernanke because he's such an easy target, you know. And sometimes I feel sorry for him because I know he has to show up at a press conference and lie. And I think he's afraid that someone's going to figure it out, because if you look at his mannerisms, if you look at the way he speaks, he's like a scared mouse, you know, under one of these interrogation lights, and you know he quivers a little bit, he stutters, he throws a lot of ums in there, you know. I think he's very uncomfortable because I think he knows he's full of it.
Let's start with the basics. The QE2 is coming to an end, the $600 billion. Yes or no? Will we see QE3?
We'll see it. I don't know what they're going to call it. You know, but QE by any other name, I mean, is still printing money, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, the Fed is looking for an excuse to print money and buy more bonds, because Ben Bernanke has got to know, right? You're talking about a man that got 1,600 on his SATs, right? That's a lot more than I got, so if I can figure it out, that's the reason he can. That the only reason we're not in a deeper recession right now, and it's a recession that really we need, unfortunately, to cleanse out all these malinvestments from the system, but the only reason that we're not is because of QE2. If interest rates were allowed to rise, which would happen without the Fed, you know, the Fed has been buying 100% of the bonds that Treasury has been selling. So without that bid in there, interest rates would go way up in this country, and that would crush the housing market even worse. I mean, we're already, you know, sucking wind with record low interest rates. So if you send interest rates up, you know, up much higher, that's going to, you know, really crush the housing market, and it's going to force the government into insolvency because we have a huge national debt. But you know, the only reason we can make the payments is because the interest rates are low because of the Fed. Well, if the Fed stops buying treasuries and the rates go up, the budget deficit goes through the roof. We can't pay our bills. Plus, you have a lot of banks right now that are heavily leveraged. A lot of the banks that got bailed out with TARP money, the only reason that they're still in business is because the Fed is giving them money for free. If the Fed, you know, takes that punch bowl away, you know, these banks are going to fail again, and even worse than in 2008. So Bernanke's got to know this. The Fed has got to know this, but they don't want to tell the truth because, you know, like Jack Nicholson, they don't think we can handle the truth, and so they lie, and they're waiting for the opportunity to, you know, come up with an excuse for whatever they're going to call the next round of quantitative easing. But there's no doubt in my mind they're going to do it. They're going to step up, and they're going to print whatever money they have to print to keep interest rates from rising, because they know what's going to happen when rates rise.
One of the things that Bernanke also said, he said that the Fed was actually successful in combating inflation. We talk about interest rates and not going up, but they're actually staying frozen at this near nothing level.
Well, he actually said the Fed was successful at battling deflation. You know, as if falling prices was ever really a risk or a fear. I mean, we need falling prices. Americans are broke. They're loaded up with debt. They've got no savings. Falling
has
prices
the Fed,
would be like manna from heaven. You know,
has the
I mean,
Fed been
imagine,
successful?
I mean, imagine if energy prices went down. Imagine if tuition went down. Imagine if healthcare costs went down. Imagine if food became cheaper. These are all good things. Why should the Federal Reserve have to save us from those good things? Instead, thanks to the Herculean efforts of Ben Bernanke, now food prices are rising. Energy prices are rising. Ain't that great?
I live in California. I expect no prices to go down at all. Ever,
except the price of your house.
Oh, well, please. And that has to go down another 40% to even be in some kind of acceptable range. But does he have any point? Has the Fed done anything to keep inflation from being higher than what I see already is based on food prices, gas prices, et cetera?
No, the Fed is creating inflation. The Fed is the engine of inflation. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Fed. Ben Bernanke, you know, he gives birth to it. You know, he's the mother of inflation. The thing is, the government tries to cover it up with these phony CPI numbers. You know, I was just reading an article that was talking about the misery index, which is back in the Jimmy Carter days, Ronald Reagan. Misery index is the inflation rate plus the unemployment rate. And that level is now at the highest level since 1981, but it's not at a record because inflation was much higher back then, even though unemployment is higher today than it was at that time. But the only reason the misery index is as low as it is because the government cooks the books. The government was much more honest in 1980 and 1979 when it reported the inflation numbers and the unemployment numbers. If we still used the same methodology that they used under the Carter administration to determine inflation and unemployment, the misery index would be at an all-time record high. It's worse than anything under Jimmy Carter. People don't know it because of the government's propaganda effort.
Let me talk about some other things Bernanke said in his press conference. We're speaking, by the way, with Peter Schiff of PeterSchiffRadio.com and, of course, author of Crash Proof. You've seen him on Fox
a million times. SchiffRadio.com.
Oh, it's just Schiff Radio? Sorry,
yeah,
I apologize,
you go to
sir.
The
How
website.
Dare I?
We do it Monday through Friday for 2 hours. Tune in tomorrow.
Well, excellent. And people can tune into that when they're not listening to me. But since I'm on now, it's all going to be okay.
It's all good. Yeah.
Thank goodness. I look forward to my invitation to absolutely contribute nothing to economic policy conversations whatsoever. Bernanke talked about Greece. Greece is looking for another round of bailouts. Is there a value of any kind in the IMF or the Eurozone or the United States bailing out Greece at this time, or is it quite literally better, for lack of a better word, to let it fall?
How are we going to bail out Greece? We'd have to get the money from China. We shouldn't be bailing out anybody, but the question is, who's going to bail us out? That's the question. You know, it's like, you know, that movie from the Superman where Lois Lane says, "You got me, who's got you?" We're in some serious, serious trouble here. And, people keep saying, are we the next Greece? We're not the rest Greece. Greece is just the earlier U.S. They're just a smaller version of us. You know, we're the big enchilada.
Well, I don't know who's going to bail us out, but you see what's happening with Greece. You see Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel, they call it falling on the sword to put more money that way. Can Greece, we'll get to America in a second, can Greece get out of its own financial situation? Well, does it have a shot?
Well, if what should happen for Greece is Greece should be allowed to restructure its debts and impose losses on Greek creditors, which would be a lot of French banks and German banks and maybe American banks, but that's where the losses should go. They should not go on the Greek people. They had no party to these transactions. The government was reckless and made all kinds of promises that the Greeks can't keep. They should not be held to them. The people who should lose were the people who were dumb enough to loan the Greek government all this money. In an ideal world, that's what would happen. But in a political world, the politicians often don't want that to happen. And so the politicians are probably going to work out some kind of bailout to save banks and, you know, to prevent Greece from defaulting. You know, that's the wrong thing to do. I think a Greek default might do some short-term pain, but it would deliver a lot of long-term benefits to both Greece and to the Eurozone and to the Euro, because it would show creditors that, hey, you just can't lend money indiscriminately to governments because they might not pay you back. So make sure that when you lend money to a government that they're not too indebted. And it would show that the euro is a real currency because it's not going to be inflated to help pay off a debt. But I don't think Europe is going to do that. I think they're going to bail out Greece and then try to counteract the moral hazard damage with some other new policies that try to say, look, we bailed them out this time, but it's not going to happen again. But ultimately, it won't work, but I think they might put a patch on it for the euro to limp along for a while longer so that it survives the dollar, because I think our financial crisis and our currency crisis is going to hit before the euro has to deal with Europe has to deal with a euro crisis.
So let's talk about the currency crisis in the United States. It's President Schiff. You have the ability to move mountains, sir. How do you save this economy?
Well, you got to save it from the government. You got to save it from the Federal Reserve. And what you need to do is get the government out of the way so that the market can solve the problems that government monetary and fiscal policy has created. And so what does that mean? That means we need higher interest rates. That means we need to allow insolvent institutions to fail without bailouts. We need to shrink government so that the economy can grow again without the weight of government. We need to repeal a lot of the rules and regulations that are undermining our productivity, that are distorting decisions and risk-taking, and that are preventing companies from being formed and other companies from expanding. You know, we need lower taxes, but we can't have lower taxes unless we spend less, and we can't spend less unless we have massive cuts across the board in government spending, including entitlements and national defense. This is what we need to do. We need to take the government out of the equation so we can put the free market into the equation. And, you know, we have dug ourselves into a gigantic hole, and it is going to take a lot to get out of it. But right now we're simply digging it deeper with the government's help, but we can't get out of this hole with the government on our back.
Peter Schiff, schiffradio.com. That's two Fs, S-C-H-I-F-F, schiffradio.com. Author of Crash Proof, a great book, a must-read, Crash Proof 2.0. Do yourself a favor. Go get it. Peter Schiff, thank you so much for being with us. Hope you'll come back again.
Anytime.
Take care. Much more to come. Stay with us. This is the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular, live at the studios of PJTV.com on the All Patriots Media Network. We'll be right back.
The Tony Katz Radio Spectacular will continue after this on the All Patriots Media Network.
Tony Katz here for Rocky Mountain Watch Company, an American company with a uniquely American watch. The Second Amendment watch from Rocky Mountain Watch Company is made in the USA, and it is a watch that tells a story about America freedom of expression, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Along the bezel, not just the words, but the very pen strokes of the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's American craftsmanship at its finest. It makes the perfect graduation or birthday gift, and it's more than a watch. The Second Amendment watch is an investment that will last through the generations. Go to RockyMountainWatch.com or call 866-591-4828, 866-591-4828. The Second Amendment watch from RockyMountainWatch.com, 866-591-4828. Order now and be sure to tell them you heard about it on the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. Rocky Mountain Watch Company, Manhattan, Montana, USA.
Victor Ray, this is Scorpion 23, traveling west on MSR Vernon. Four Victors, 16 packs, request MSR status, over. Roger, Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AO are red past 24 hours, three IEDs on MSR Vernon.
Victor X-ray, this is Scorpion 23, one Victor hit by IED X-ray, Mike Bravo, 310-737, taking small arms fire. Request QRF and medevac at this location.
In war, there will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and send your message of support to our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Hey everybody, Tony Katz here for NorthlandFinance.com. I can't say enough about these people. They get you money for your business. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. If you need cash, you want to do improvements, you want to get more inventory, you want to make your business bigger and better than ever before, Northland Finance, they're the people you need. They can deal with bad credit. They can deal with all sorts of credit issues. Check them out right now at NorthlandFinance.com. NorthlandFinance.com. Simply, you need cash to make your business run. That's exactly what Northland Finance does. Give them a call, 813-386-5820, 813-386-5820, or check them out online at NorthlandFinance.com. NorthlandFinance.com.
Sally Field for Wounded Warrior Project.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces who daily risk their lives for our freedom. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Some will suffer the effects of traumatic brain injury for the rest of their lives. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes. Regardless of your position on the war, they deserve our help. Please consider the many ways that you can get involved. The Wounded Warrior Project's motto is, "The greatest casualty is being forgotten." Let's continue to help make this generation the most well-received group of injured veterans in our nation's history. We owe it to them. To learn more, call 877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
You know, in addition to this great radio show, I host a weekly show over at pjtv.com called The Conversation with Tony Katz. Yeah, PJTV, like pajamas. It's actually Pajamas Media, one of the biggest names in center-right content. At PJTV, we make great video content that gives you news and opinion heard nowhere else in the MSM. Be sure to check out my show, The Conversation with Tony Katz, at pjtv.com. It's easy to do, and it's free. PJTV.com.
Time now for more of the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular, here on the All Patriots Media Network.
The Tony Katz Radio Spectacular continues. Go to this camera. I haven't done this camera yet. There you go. Come on. Make it happen. 1-800-962-1160. 1-800-962-1160. I am Tony Katz, and the pleasure is mine, like you would not and could not possibly believe. The chat room is open, and oh, are they talkative? AllPatriotsMedia.com/chat. AllPatriotsMedia.com. Click on the chat link. And no Chris in the chat room.
We have all noted the irony. No one has missed it. We have noted the irony that the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize is currently mismanaging five different wars. We have not missed it. We have not missed the fact that we are engaged in Libya and in the super secret war of Yemen. Basically, national defense policy is being run by Dean Wormer. It's double secret probation. It's super secret war. 1-800-962-1160. My thanks to Peter Schiff and to Colonel McGregor. We're definitely, as I was saying in the break, we're having Colonel McGregor back because this conversation about Iran not being a threat, I need him to answer questions, and I can't wait to bring him back. Hopefully we'll be able to do it here as we do the Wednesday show here every week at PJTV. Otherwise, you listen live at allpatriotsmedia.com. Whether you're in New York on WVNJ 1160 AM or in Arkansas and the surrounding states on 880 AM, KLRG, we love being there. We are looking to add more and more stations. We'll add a station in your town. Just tell us which station. We'll give them a call. You know the station, call them. Tell them, hey, the Tony Katz Radio Spectacular. My goodness. Let's get that on the air. As we all know, it is election season. If you didn't know, we're going to be voting for president soon. Tick-tock. And on Monday, I believe it was, a man by the name of John Huntsman, former ambassador to China, former governor of Utah, got into the race. If you didn't notice, that's quite all right, because he's not necessarily making a splash. He's not necessarily a, I don't even know if he's necessarily a Republican, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think anybody knows. This is the latest story from the Las Vegas Sun. The Huntsman family gave nearly $25,000 to Harry Reid in the last cycle. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who said this week he prefers John Huntsman to Mitt Romney, they're all Mormons. It's the Mormon triangle. I have no issue with Mormons, by the way. Don't send me your hate mail. If you want to, Tony really loves the Mormons at PJTV.com. Feel free. He has taken a lot of money from the Huntsman family, Harry Reid has, and from the former Utah governor appointed Reid's son, Josh, to the Utah Board of Regents. So far, as we see this, from his family, from the Huntsman family, $9,600, $9,600, $4,600, and $2,000. $25,000. $25,000 to Harry Reid. Harry Reid comes out and say, I would go for Huntsman over Mitt Romney, but he's not going to go for either one, so what good is it? Although it doesn't do your campaign any good if out... I would rather be Newt Gingrich and have lost my entire financing team than have Harry Reid say, John Huntsman, good guy. No question about it. Absolutely. But in conversations yesterday with the Freedom Cigar Club, I get together monthly with a group of people and we talk some serious politics. The conversation keeps coming up. I mean, Huntsman gets dismissed. I don't know. Huntsman, I don't think, has an option. He was the ambassador to China, a former governor. Running for president is what you do. But the conversation was really about Mitt Romney. And I ask a question, I ask it here now. What is the value that Romney brings to the party? Now, understand, you know, I'm not a Republican, I'm a Tea Party guy. Certainly, you know where I side. I don't think I'm shy about these things. But I look at the race, and I look at the candidates, and I listen, and we have these conversations. What is the value that Romney brings to the party? That he looks the part? That it's his time? That he's earned it? That he can raise money? That he has money? Meg Whitman had money, ladies and gentlemen, ran for governor of California, barely cracked 40%. In speeches I have given all throughout Southern California, I have said that if I had run for governor against Jerry Brown, Moonbeam himself, didn't have the money that Meg Whitman had, all I did was run a campaign that said, vote for Tony Katz, you get free popcorn. I don't tell you how much popcorn, popped or unpopped, Tony Katz, buttery delicious. I also could have cracked 40%. $1.4 billion didn't do a thing. It's not about money and it's not about time. It is about values. What do you value? And how does that apply to a Mitt Romney candidacy or presidency? My question. It's out there. By the way, I am seriously considering a run for president of the United States. Thank you. Thank you very much. My thanks to Peter Schiff. My thanks to Colonel Douglas McGregor. My thanks to all of you. Don't forget Facebook and Twitter, Tony Katz. Thank you, Holly Bacon. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.